It's the end of the fifth week of the Idaho legislature, and that means lawmakers are almost halfway through the session. Two issues popped up this week, one involving the public school budget and the other being Idaho's redistricting commission. A plan to change how the commission works came up in last year's session and is back again. It's the same plan the GOP looked at their state party convention this summer. Boise State political science professor Gary Moncrief gives Samantha Wright the details.
There was a joint committee hearing on the Senate Education and the House Education Committees to unveil and start to talk about the new funding formula proposal for K-12.
So public schools.
Yeah, public schools. So what they're doing is they've got this draft, essentially, of how this would work, and they understand there's going to be a lot of pushback and a lot of discussion, and so they're doing, I think, the right thing. They had a public hearing on Thursday to do that, to kind of lay out the information. This is going to be a long process, I think, but there's a start. This is an important thing, obviously. There's a lot of money involved. There's a lot of schools involved and parents and students. This is a big deal.
Big part of the Idaho budget is public schools.
That's exactly right. So we've got that going on. And then there was a joint resolution introduced in the House in the State Affairs Committee to change the nature of the Idaho Redistricting Commission.
This is the commission that draws the lines every 10 years as to where you vote.
Exactly. So currently we have, through constitutional amendment many years ago now, back in the 1990s, we have a system where there's basically three Republican-nominated people and three Democratic-nominated people. So you've got six people on this committee. And then they have to decide on a plan, which means it has to be a bipartisan plan eventually, because it requires a majority of people. And obviously, at least one person from one party has to vote with the others on a plan. So it's a bipartisan thing. Meanwhile, this proposal that's before State Affairs would change this to add a seventh person. And that seventh person, as a tiebreaker, would be chosen by four statewide officials, elected officials. Well, obviously, what this really means is it's an effort on the part of the Republican Party to change this so that they once again have control of the system rather than it requiring some kind of bipartisan thing.
Because those four public officials, elected officials, are currently Republican.
And, you know, for the last 35 or 40 years, almost always have been Republican. The person that introduced this bill, it's not a bill, it's actually a concurrent resolution because it would be a constitutional amendment. He said, this is a fair and proactive approach to the process. And essentially what he's arguing is we need an odd number of people on there to break this bipartisan tie, if it were. Well, the fact of the matter is, in most states that have independent commissions, and there's 14 states that do, by the way, in almost all of those states, the fair and proactive way to do this is to have the equal number of people on the committee choose the odd person that will serve as the tiebreaker if the committee can't come to an agreement. Most of the states that have independent redistricting commissions start with an even number of people on it, and then those people actually choose the extra person. That extra person often serves as the chair and the tiebreaker of the committee.
So you have to agree on a tiebreaker.
So the people on the committee have to agree. If you truly want a bipartisan committee with an odd number of people, that's the way to do it. That's the way it's done in most states. Now, the Democrats just tried this trick in New Jersey last year. Because they regained the governor's position, they had control of the House, the Senate, and the governor, which means they could control redistricting, and they tried to change the process to give themselves that advantage again. The public outcry was so great that the Democrats backed off of that. That's what it takes in a case like this, is that when one party seeks this kind of advantage, it requires a public outcry in order to put a stop to it.
Will it pass?
I think there's a very good chance it'll pass. Certainly in the House, I think it'll pass. I think there's a chance it could pass in the Senate as well, if that's the case. And of course, it requires a two-thirds vote in both the House and Senate to pass because it's a constitutional amendment. If it passes in the House and Senate, then it would go to the general public for a vote. So, you know, we'll see.